you know, in years to come, you're going to have men who don't care that women play sport. They just love that anyone can play sport. They're going to grow up knowing that that's normal.
There was a woman in front of me. She was wearing a red hijab and a full-on red and white Adidas tracksuit.
The games were a little bit flat, but there was people in the crowd that were just cheering all game. And it's like, I'm watching these people in the crowds. I'm not watching the game for a little bit.
2019 World Cup was actually the one that did it. Sort of like, it sounds weird, but I could feel it.
Liverpool is a wondrous place.
From Merseybeek to Brookside.
Eric's to the everyman.
This podcast tells the city's stories.
Whether you're a proper scouser
or just a day tripper.
Listen in to learn something new about Liverpool.
Drawing on the past,
present and future.
The iconic
and under the radar. Looking at the people,
places
and moments that make Liverpool what it is.
This
is the National
Museum's Liverpool podcast.
Are you a red or a blue? A question you might often hear in this football-centric city, where picking a team, Liverpool or Everton, is more of a birthright than a choice. Much is written and spoken about the players, but it is the fans who bring Anfield and Goodison to life, who pack bars on match days, fill the streets during parades, and spend much of their weeks in between matches discussing and debating about their beloved clubs. But amongst these historically male traditions, there is a fresh energy and attention given to women involved in the sport, both in the stands and on the pitch. Female fans are being recognised for their knowledge, passion, and their fashion, documented in a wave of publications and initiatives spearheaded by Liverpool Girl Fan Zine. The Girl Fans project gives female football supporters visibility and a sense of belonging in UK football culture. It's the brainchild of our guest, senior lecturer in fashion communication at Liverpool John Moores University, Jackie McCassie. Since 2013, she has been documenting the diverse fans of the Liverpool and Scottish Premier Leagues, as well as the English Football League, through her skilled photography and academic study. Of course, this fandom goes hand in hand with the rise of the women's game. Take a gander to Anfield Road, and you'll see a mural of Liverpool and England's under-23 star, Missy Beaukearns. The first mural in the city to feature an LFC Women's player, it was commissioned by the LFC Women's Supporters Club. Here to talk to us about the club, founded in 2020, is its founder and chair, Jay Goodall. So let's get to know our guests, starting with how and when Jackie and Jay got into football.
Full disclosure, I'm a Liverpool supporter, men and women's teams. I have always followed Liverpool, and I am lucky enough to remember as a child. I mean, we've had plenty of glory days, but I remember the sort of late 70s, 80s. And I've said this quite a few times, although I hadn't gone to Anfield at that point. I had a family that weren't particularly into football. It was myself and my brother. And I just still felt part of it. And I think most of that comes from living in South Liverpool and seeing the parades. That was my connection. And I suppose kind of lost touch with it in a way, a little bit, early 90s. And definitely, I think it was kind of noughties. Got really into kind of watching it again. And I have worked as a lecturer since 1998, teaching fashion, image making, fashion communication. I really wanted to, as part of my research as an academic, to really somehow work on a project around football. And for quite a few years, I wasn't sure what that would be. And then started a fanzine in 2013 called Girl Fans, which really was about, I mean, it was about addressing a lack of representation, I guess, but it was also, you know, who are these women that go to the match week in, week out? Just wanting to find out more. And that started the zine, which was largely a photographic project.
I actually played football for Liverpool Girls when I was younger. My dad was a big Blue Nose at the time. I'm definitely a Liverpool fan. I think I saw sense and realised that the Reds were going to be the better team, much to my dad's dismay. But yeah, played with Liverpool for a couple of years, sort of dipped in and out of it, ended up doing a bit of drama because I was quite shy when I was younger. Similar to Jackie, sort of like fell out of touch with football and then came back to it at a later year. So it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I actually wanted to play football again, got into a social team and then ended up coaching a women's beginners team, which I really enjoyed. Started watching football again, going to games, watching the women and the men's teams when I could. From there, basically ended up doing a bit of coaching, bit of managing, and then ended up starting the supporters club for Liverpool women's team.
Jackie and Jay are a force to be reckoned with. Jackie providing a platform for female fans, and Jay at the forefront of supporter culture for the women's game. But how did these football-crazed compatriots cross paths?
So 2019, I'd started making these badges, which is really funny because they appeared in Vogue. But they're like pin badges, but they're like, I was almost doing like a running commentary through the tournament. So I'd make them like, now I'm trying to remember what's on all of those badges because I made loads of them. But like, I always mark occasions. So when Liverpool won the league, I did a first lady badge. And then I did a badge with all the managers' wives' names on, you know, just to kind of say, well, actually it's to say women are always there somewhere. Jay ordered a load of them, which I feel really bad about now because you paid for them all. So yeah, it was that, wasn't it? And then we've had like loads of conversations and I think always like supported each other as well, I think. And in Australia, obviously.
And I wore the coat at the Euros as well.
You wore the coat at the Euros.
Got it on the big screen.
Yeah, Jay's got a big red curly
big wig
on.
I have my face painted with the England flag. Yeah,
I think it might have appeared in a paper as well.
Somewhere. Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
go big
yeah,
or go home.
Yeah, and just like, I think huge supporter of what you've done with the women's team and the fans. It really is incredible.
Along with the badges, the zine has taken Jackie on an incredible journey over the last decade, starting at a time when men dominated the game, both on and off the field. But where did the idea from the zine come from and how did it start?
Well, really, it was I went along at the beginning of the 2013 season. At that point, Liverpool men's team were doing really well. And literally observed people walking into the grounds the first time I went. And then subsequent visits, I was with my friend, who's a great photographer, Alex Hurst. We just started photographing women because we'd noticed that there were a lot of them streaming into the grounds. So it was always before, you know, like an hour before kickoff. I felt the conversations I had outside of football, people still had this idea that it was male dominated, and I guess it still is in some ways, but at the time I just did a little bit of research about it and found out that it was actually one in four match goers in the Premier League during that time were women. Also, there were conversations that time around women wearing like pink merch from the stores, and so it was kind of tied up with that. It was okay, well, let's see who these people are. And it was more of an ethnographic study, so it wasn't one visit, it was repeated visits. So over the course of one season, you got a real sense of who these women were. And some of them were, you know, season ticket holders. And then others were just there for the first time. Others couldn't get into the ground, travelling from all, you know, across the world. That's what it reflected. And there is something for anyone who takes photographs addictive about it. Like, you can't stop it then. I find it very hard to stop it. And from then on, I did the same thing for other teams. Obviously, I went to Everton next. I went to Goodison, you know, and did the same thing. Then Manchester City, Celtic, Burnley, lots of other clubs. That drove it in a way because at the time, and I say this quite a lot, a decade ago, you know, the women that we see now presenting programmes, just generally talking about football, that was not there. It's really hard, I think, for younger people to even imagine it. That representation was not there.
So who were these women Jackie was profiling? Head over to the Girl Fans Instagram and you'll see female fandom from across the ages. One post shares a throwback to 1950 from the book Old Liverpool FC in Colour. A gang of lasses in scarves look euphoric as they stride the London pavement before the FA Cup final. Jump to 2022, you'll see Jackie and Paul Robinson's epic Lionesses touchline coat. Modelled by Alex Greenwood, the piece is made with pre-loved England scarves. Also featured is sister project Girl Fans Untold, where older supporters have been photographed, their faces proud with memories of the game. After 10 years on the zine, I asked Jackie what her favourite memories are.
Girl Fans started in 2013. I always have to say this, that Liverpool women won the WSL back-to-back in 13 and 14. I never heard one person talk about that when I was working on my zine. And that just, I think, says quite a lot. It says a huge amount. I think what's really lovely is to see the amount of younger women, because when you work on projects like that, you get, you're contacted by people studying undergraduate journalism courses, PhDs, MAs. There's this groundswell of younger women coming after me that are going to do, I think, great things. So I think the ripple effect is huge. It goes beyond football and into so many other areas. The first thing is meeting so many people and then just chatting to people before a game and seeing that knowledge that women have. You know, they have a lot of knowledge. They talk about the same things. They talk about the manager, the tactics, how they're doing. It's really, really in depth. One of the highlights was seeing and meeting so many older women. That for me really, I suppose around 2018, that really made an impact on how I thought about football, and also why weren't clubs talking to those women? I met women who have followed their club for 50, 60 years longer here in the city. A woman who went to has been to every final since 77. So I was just blown away constantly by these older women. The zine of Manchester City, because the Etihad is such a different kind of, the fan spaces are very different, kind of Liverpool and Everton. Just seeing older women reading a book, sitting outside reading a book and then just getting up at like 1:45 and then just going into the match. It's just such great fun observing all of those different rituals and habits, and also making friends, personal friends on a personal level along the way. People that I've photographed, people that I've met. That's been great. There are loads more things because obviously 10 years on and now reflecting on it. And so I look back at them and I look at what they're wearing, and I look at women wearing a lot of menswear, maybe because they couldn't find the clothes or the shops weren't catering for them. Just loads of things. The significance of the football shirt, I think, as well. You know, I was surprised by it. And one woman was like, oh, I really want to tell you my story. I think she played a little bit. I think she might have played with brothers and then wrote 7,000 words in an email to me. Can you believe that? Amazing. It's like an outpouring, isn't it? It brings a tear if you read it. It brings a tear to the eye, it does.
That is fascinating that it's like built up all that time, that she just wanted someone to listen and to recognise the knowledge within her, I suppose, because... Can you imagine it? She felt like no one was listening before.
She could probably write a book, to be fair.
Well, she already has.
She's run that.
I can see why the photography gets addictive as well, because that story that you shared, it just kind of shows how it's the lifestyle, isn't it? Like you're just reading your book and you just get up and go in, and I guess it's so embedded in people's day-to-day lives.
And you become part of that ritual as well, regardless of the club. So you visit those same spaces. You see them talking to each other and you just become part of it, which is really nice.
And with photography, I suppose life is changing all the time. So there's always a better shot or a different shot
I remember going to watch the Liverpool men's team, and there was a woman in front of me. She was wearing a red hijab and a full on red and white Adidas tracksuit. And I was like, didn't have my camera with me. I had my phone, but I just thought, no, just stop it. Just go to the game.
Jackie's work beautifully captures a culture that for years flew under the radar. And of course, the female representation in the stands goes hand in hand with the development of the women's game. I asked Jay and Jackie how the game's popularity has changed over time.
I don't know whether it's just sort of the culture of football. It's always been very male-orientated. Like, for me as a kid, you know, there wasn't much female representation in the game at all. My dad took me to a few women's games to watch, but they were like FA Cup finals. It wasn't advertised to go and watch Liverpool play, watch Everton play or anyone. So that would be, for me, sort of the reason. And I think the last sort of few years gone by, 5-10 years, females have been a lot more represented in the game, whether that's playing, referees, people on TV that you watch commentating and things like that. So it's nice to see the growth of it in that respect. And I hope it'll just continue to go that way.
Such a huge amount of new teams post the Euros win. And I think the ability to be able to just get you and a group of like-minded women together and just say, you know, we'll go to that park or we'll try to get on a pitch has meant there's just so many, especially I've noticed that in Liverpool, in Manchester. So definitely up in the Northwest. And then 2019 World Cup was actually the one that did it. And also I think this communities that were allowed to grow via social media. So it's when all of that came together. And then 2019, I think there was a sort of like, it sounds weird, but I could feel it. Weirdly, sitting in work.
It was more the Euros for me last year because it was in England. And obviously in the UK, like we had the ban on football for 50 years, which meant a lot of women couldn't play sports anyway or play football. And I think for me, the visibility came when little girls from the UK could actually go to a stadium and watch women play football. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just on TV where they might have not been able to watch it because they're in school or something like that. When it's not just little girls watching women play, it's little boys as well. And I think that's really important that, you know, in years to come, you're going to have men who don't care that women play sport. They just love that anyone can play sport. They're going to grow up knowing that that's normal for them. And I really like that idea. You know, there's still a lot of like negative comments that you see now on posts online, and it's sad to see that because women can play sport, they can play football, they've proved it. And I just think, yeah, in years to come, it's going to be a lot better.
It's clear the game will only get stronger. And here in Liverpool, that's no small part thanks to Jay. Founder of the LFC Women's Supporters Club, he tells us a bit about bringing this community of supporters together.
So I actually set it up. I founded it in 2020, in March, just before COVID happened. So Deborah Dilworth, who runs the women's network for the FSA, she looks after all the women's supporters clubs within the leagues across the UK. She used to be a coach mentor for me, and she basically messaged me in this new role and was like, Jay, we've not got a supporters club for Liverpool women's team. And I was like, okay, what do you want me to do about it? So she'd kind of like planted a bit of a seed in my head, and I was like, okay, go on then. It's you know, it was kind of like the end of my coaching era. Just because of work shifts, I couldn't really do it anymore. And it was sort of a nice transition to be able to pass the coaching to someone else and then go into something new, because I am, Jackie, you'll know what I'm like. I hate not being busy. I'm always doing something. So, yeah, it was a nice little transition for that. And obviously COVID happened, so I couldn't actually go to any games at all to meet fans. So it was all basically set up online. The foundations of what we built were basically Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And I just had to sort of put my face out there and be like, look, this is who I am. Come and join me. I'm going to try and support the women's team as much as we can. We want to make some noise in the crowds when we're allowed back into the stands. Just make a community at the games and make a bit more of a family feel of fans who want to come together, meet up before games, do some activities, make some projects that we can work on together. And yeah, it all basically just built on from that. And once we were allowed back in the stands the season after, it was nice to like meet these people who I'd met online and who were like supporting us. And it's built from there, and it's grown quite quickly, which I was really surprised with. But you know, what we've got is really nice. We've now got like people who go to all the away games together, people who will sit together in the crowd, whereas before it was very not segregated, but you'd have like a family sat there and someone else sat there on their own, and you could see the people wanted to like be involved in the singing together. Just being able to help bring people together and give people the confidence to make something of it was really special for me.
It's such an achievement having started in lockdown to bring people together. I mean, surely that's one of the most difficult things to do, but I guess people were also really seeking that community and were so grateful when they could get out into the stands and experience that.
It was really difficult, I think, because people didn't know who I was. That's the reason I wanted to put my face out there. Like, I wasn't intending to do that. It's just the way that it happened with obviously being online. I think quite early on, we had a couple of the players started following us. Vicky Jepson, the manager at the time, followed us. And because they were sharing a few posts or liking a few posts, I think that gave other fans confidence to be able to say, okay, this is legit. It's not like some random person who's just trying to like get in touch with the women's players or anything like that. That definitely brought people together. We had there was a couple of regular people who would post or like and share things. And yeah, once we got back into the stands, it just sort of built on that. And I was quite fortunate. I was a little bit cheeky with the club because there was still like media people going to the games behind closed doors. So I thought, well, I'm running the supporters club. I know I've not met them, but they can only say no. So I actually asked and said, look, is there any chance that I can and go sit in the journalism part? And luckily the club said yes. So I was able to like have that interaction with fans where I'm still at the game. And at first I was a bit like, okay, people are going to be jealous. They're going to be like, why are you allowed in and we're not? But actually, it had a really good reception. People were like really positive about it. And I think just for them, some of the games weren't on TV, so you couldn't watch them. So for me to be able to like share a couple of little videos, the team are warming up, or it's a goal, here's a substitution. And just for them to be able to see that and interact with us helped grow the fan base as well from there.
And you also put on some amazing events, so the awards nights and things like that, which I guess those contacts came in handy.
Originally, we wanted to like set up a lot of activities outside of football just to get fans to come together, meet up. And, you know, if, say, there was like a single person who is a little bit too shy or anxious to go to a game on their own, they'd have familiar faces that they would know and say, OK, well, I can meet up with you before the game. I might be on my own, but at least I know people are there and I feel a bit safer. So we ended up doing a summer meetup before the season started, and that was just at New Brighton Beach. And it was just, yeah, people brought games with them, beach games, and we had a Meg Campbell throwing competition because Meg Campbell's got like one of the longest throws in the women's game. And it was just fun. Like we had probably about 40 people turn up. And then, yeah, we did the awards as well. It was the first time we've ever done anything like that. And it was a big success, considering I was like, it's not going to go that well. But
it was amazing.
We had about, yeah, Jackie was there, she'll tell
it
you.
It was just amazing. And obviously, when you're doing an event that size, you know the work that goes into it. It was incredible. Players were there, manager was there. All the same children that I'd seen, because I've been on that bus once, and I take my hat off to people, you know, to the parents, to the fans, to the children. They do. It was like a 10-hour round journey. It was put on, you know, the free Liverpool women bus. But take my hat off. It was incredible. And so I think, yeah, your ability to bring everybody together and make them feel really comfortable and part of it. Yeah, it's just down to you.
And you've been recognised for that as well with some...
Yeah, the committee actually surprised me on the night. I didn't know anything about it. And after we'd done a few of the awards, I think it was just after the interval, I'd seen the presentation that was going up, so I knew exactly what was in there, what order everything was going in. And next thing, Jamie, who was presenting it with me, he's like, right, we've got a little surprise now. And I was like, what's this? This is not part of the plan. And it was an outstanding contribution award. Which, yeah, nearly brought a tear to my eye. I had to try and compose myself while I was hosting. I couldn't.
Nearly, but not quite.
But yeah, they threw that in, which was really nice, you know, to be recognised for all the work that I've done and for setting everything up. I mean, we've got a team behind what we do, obviously. Yeah. And I always say it, but everyone's like, no, but it's all down to you. And I'm like, but it's not.
It's just 3 years.
But yeah.
I mean, it's a lot in 3 years.
Yeah.
It is.
Jay's work really shows the dedication it takes on the ground to have a big impact for the game at large. And for both Jackie and Jay, they were able to celebrate this progress in Australia for the 2023 Women's World Cup.
I was really lucky, actually. I bid for some funding at Liverpool John Moores, where I work, and it was... I always laugh because the title of the bid was... It was like post-Women's Euros, where England won, and it was... Wembley joy, the moment the England women's team became cool, which I think is really funny, kind of wedging cool into an academic bid. And I got it. It was a team bid. So I went to Australia with Professor Jean Williams. She's a sports historian, like so experienced. That was her 7th Women's World Cup. She's incredible. And we started to work on a project around merchandise, which we call Femorabilia, which actually is... I didn't think of that. It's a special collection at Liverpool John Moores called Femorabilia. And so the idea was to go and continue to take photographs at a World Cup. It was my first, so I didn't know what to expect. The experience was great, but I think from a personal point of view, it was great to see the teams. We had some good tickets, as in just like a little bit closer to the pitch to see, you know, England v Nigeria. I mean, amazed. That was an amazing game. But to see the growth in the sport from an Australian perspective to go to some of the earlier games and see Australian fans being excited, but then to get to the semi and see, you know, feel the country, feel the interest in soccer. To see, you know, children really get into those games in the later stages and to watch them watching a screen. Because when it was screened at one point, I was standing, of course, facing them, and it was just lovely. It was just incredible.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I went over there more to sort of like see some of our Liverpool players that were called up. Unfortunately, there was only one who ended up playing. The rest were either injured or just didn't get game time while they were there. But yeah, being in the crowd, I went to watch the opener, Australia-Ireland. So like meeting the supporters club for both of them teams was amazing. And yeah, just the atmosphere, like Jackie's just touched on then. Like, you're going to a World Cup, you want to go there to make the noise for your team. And, you know, there was a few games I went to where the games were a little bit flat and I was like, oh, I'm a bit bored. But there was people in the crowd that were just cheering all game. And it's like, I'm watching these people in the crowds. I'm not watching the game for a little bit.
You must have seen some amazing outfits as well.
Actually, they were part of the research in a way. We were looking for those and we did find some. And I made a coat from scarves. I am making Jay one as well. I keep saying I am in the middle of making it. And we took that over. And so it was two things. We worked with the FSA, the Football Supporters Association, too. They do meetups. So we took the coat there. So it was nice to see fans interacting with it. Mm. On the whole, though, I'd say that merch and the way people dress is very much kind of branded FIFA. I think Nike was the sponsor for the Matildas. So you'd see a lot of that. And then in would come the Dutch fans parading outside the ground in their orange. And they had like characters, you know, like, I might get this wrong. Like a bear type thing. I probably should know that. And people just dressed up and dancers and drums. Although it was Netherlands, they were dressed in like fancy dress. So it was really interesting, the culture of just expressing yourself as you want has been, you know, the brands have sort of taken that. And then if people don't make things themselves as they used to 40, 50 years ago, then how do you do it? You know, how do you make that yourself look individual? But there were people that had made their own things. There were people that had made their own patches. And then I took a load of grassroots like scarves from Liverpool over. And then I took photos of just like the non-football community wearing those. So it was just, I was there for 4 weeks and it was, yeah.
Trying to think if I saw any crazy outfits, but I think the ones that stick out in my mind are just people dressed up as kangaroos.
Yes.
There's loads
of
them. But there are many kangaroos.
There was quite a few, yeah, to be
fair. Baguettes. There were some baguettes at the France game, although they looked like hot dogs. Yeah, so do you see what it means? Very much like a sort of costume, fancy dress kind of vibe. Colombia fans looked incredible. That was really, it was festival time for them, and they made amazing noise in the stadium.
Even outside, they were the ones for me that had like steel drums and stuff, and they were just like partying through the street, and everyone's there like clapping and dancing and you're just like, wow, what's this?
It feels like women's football has really taken off, and with it, an influx of commercial opportunities and interest from brands. Jackie's done some consultancy with brands who are keen to align themselves with fan culture. A great opportunity for progression if the fans remain at the heart of the campaign.
Where I have done consultancy, for me, it's always been around, so I've done some with Nike and Converse, but it's reaching out to fans so they are part of it. Even Jay was in the Nike work that we did. So it was great to reach out and get like real supporters in those spaces. That was important with their ideas and with their personalities. And I think it was the same with Converse. They were really looking at the creative part of the creativity within the city. So it's good to be able to introduce people to those brands and in those spaces, I think, more than anything. There's a lot of talk about growth in women's football, and that's great. And it's, for me, it's about being able to play it, being able to play at a younger age, having the spaces to play it, the pitches to play it, the opportunities to play, and less about selling merch. But that it's going to always be that, isn't it? It's going to be that. So that's really hard. So, but I think just retaining your voice, retaining your spirit. I think women can really control the narrative that comes out of that team. And I think that's really, really important. Why they're there, where they play, what kind of kit they wear.
Retaining your voice is just as important for Jay when working with Liverpool Women's Supporters Club.
The club are really good at listening to us, which is nice. I think a lot of other supporters clubs within the women's network don't have that voice with the club. They don't have the reciprocation from the club to have conversations and communicate with them. We do, and we're quite fortunate in that sense because we're not an official supporters club. We're still very much independent. But the fact that the club will give us time to sit down and have a conversation with them, for me, is already a step above what other clubs do. So I think they're good in that respect. They have started to implement and bring in a lot more women's merchandise, which some other clubs don't have. You know, we're starting to play a few more games at Anfield this season, which is nice to see. And yeah, they are trying to improve. Like I say, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but I think that can be said across the whole women's game, not just for Liverpool.
Yeah, and globally.
Where do you see the women's game going, so sort of 5-10 years from now?
Well, I'd like to see it grow a lot bigger, but I think we need to look into like the sponsorship side of it as well for TV deals and things like that. I think the clubs are starting to realise that women's football is big, so they need to put the work in, they need to try and finance it better than they do now. Until we start seeing more sort of broadcast deals and things like that, then it's still going to be sort of sat where it is now.
Why would you as well at the moment just not want to turn up when those games are at Anfield and Goodison and, you know, the tickets are affordable? Yeah, so I think maybe not the future. I'm thinking like people should just go like now.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah.
Just go and watch it. You're in a stadium, because that's different, isn't it? It's different to watching on TV.
Even just being able to go to the big stadiums, like Jackie's just said, tickets are so affordable, and a lot of people think that the women's game is family orientated, and that's it. It's not. We've got old guys who go to the games because they can't afford to go to a men's game. Mm. But when you've got games at Anfield, Goodison, the Emirates, Stamford Bridge, people want to go and see the stadium. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Like, whether it's a men or a women's game, you can just go and you can have the experience of being at Anfield, being at Goodison.
So it's kind of near future, and further into the near future, it's just like go and try it out. Get a scarf.
Take some photos.
And, yeah, get a scarf, take some photographs. You're done.
Well, there you have it. Whether it's getting along to see your local women's team one Saturday, starting up your own supporters club, or creating fashion statements out of football merch, fans are being the change they want to see. Taking matters into their own hands, they're the driving force behind a more representative sport and set to ensure football really is a game for everyone. A big thanks to Jackie McCassie and Jay Goodall for letting us in to their wealth of knowledge and enthusiasm for women's fandom and football. I've been your host, Megan McGurk. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to the National Museum's Liverpool podcast for more Liverpool stories, from the under the radar to the truly iconic.